Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I want to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and then a short passage out of Isaiah. First, out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, or another translation says, absolute awe. And they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And then out of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 30, verse 21, in the Living Bible translation, we read this, "And if you leave God's paths and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, 'No, this is the way, walk here.'" Or another translation, the New Living Translation, we read Isaiah 30, 21 like this, "Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, 'This is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left.'" Well, before that scene on that stormy sea painted for us in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus had been with his disciples for a while. They had heard him and seen him teaching, speaking, confronting the Pharisees and other pious religious leaders of the day who always challenged him, tried to trip him up with the religious rules they used simply to strangle and control the people in those days. And his disciples and others had seen him perform miracle after miracle, day after day. They had witnessed him heal a leper on the side of the road and heal Apostle Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. They saw him cast out demons of illness or disease or depression, bad behavior or other maladies from people who came to him asking for his help. They watched as he raised a widow's son to life, saved a woman from stoning, and so much more. But the faith of his disciples and others who followed him and wanted to believe in him was still weak. They did not and would not fully appreciate who he was until his death and resurrection. They underestimated his power, power which was on board with them in that boat and had always been with them. Unfortunately for them, they seemed to believe in his power only when they saw it. The next storm they faced or mountain which rose up before him, doubt and fear overwhelmed them once again. They believed in things they could touch and see, like when Jesus woke up and actually calmed the storm from that boat or healed someone as he had before. They believed when they saw it. Their faith was weak and was all about seeing before believing. Sounds a little like some folks I know, maybe even you, or certainly me at times. The writer of Hebrews shares in chapter 11, verse 1, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Here's the truth. In the midst of whatever you're in the middle of, no matter what, the God of the universe, the Lord of lords, King of kings, the healer of healers, the Jesus of the cross and the empty tomb is the real deal. He is above all there is. He sees us, watches over us, wants the best for us, and is walking with us. His power is there in the boat, in our classrooms, our marriage, our job, in the difficulties we face, and in every long, desolate valley we walk through. He is there in the midst of whatever we are in the midst of. Whatever storm threatens, he is there. Reverend Billy Graham shared over and over to millions and millions and millions around the world that we are not called to understand the mind of God and what God does and how he does what he does. Thank goodness. We are simply called, he said, to believe. We will never understand God's way, but we have plenty of evidence of his presence and power in our lives and in our better moments. We do believe that he did what he did. We've seen him work out things before. The healings, the miracles, calming the storms, parting seas, and moving mountains. But the real problem, the real question that we struggle with every day of our life is this. Do we believe that he wants to and can do all of that for us too? Even today, look, we read scripture after scripture about what he has done in the lives of others. Does he still do those today? Is he still in the miracle business? And do we believe that he cares and wants to do all of that for you, for me, and for those we love? You know, sadly, many of us carry around the baggage of past personal relationships which color our relationship with God, relationships with family and friends, teachers and people we worked with, teammates and coaches, where we were let down, where we were hurt, disappointed, criticized, neglected, or rejected, maybe even abandoned. And as a result, we wrongly attribute those characteristics to God. And so because of our past experiences with those other people whom we counted upon, we have trouble believing that we can count on God or that God wants the best for us and will be there for us. But, listen, but we can count on him. He is not those other people. He has never done anything unless it was for our ultimate good, even though we may not have been able to see it at the time. Jesus is saying the same thing to us that he said to the disciples. Trust me, believe me, no matter what you face. An illness hits your family, a forever relationship ends and you don't know what's next. Maybe you've fallen short. You're struggling to meet expectations, yours and others. The world tries to label you as a failure. You don't know where to turn right now in your life. And Jesus says, I've got you. Trust me. Don't fear. I see where you are and will never leave you, no matter what. My hand is on your shoulder. Whatever you're facing, storms, difficulties, mountains to climb, decisions to make, I am there for your good and my glory. We will get through this together. My friends, in my experience, and I'll bet yours, we can believe that. We have seen it in the past. God sees us. He has us in his hands. He was with us in the beginning and then through our ups and downs, and he'll be with us forever. So let it be about him and where he wants us to be and to go. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren starts off his book by saying this, four words, it's not about you. It wasn't something that he knew or believed earlier in his life, but slowly, as his relationship with Christ grew, he began to replace his ego, thinking he knew what was best, with God's way for what was best. As a friend reminded me not too long ago, we serve a God of wow, and we do, a God who is always there for us. It's not about us, friends. It's not about our way, but his. He knows our next step. And the next after that, he makes a way for us through the storms and over the mountains. In every moment of our lives, he is there, sees us, and knows the way. As we read earlier, where Isaiah reminds us, quote, and if you leave God's paths and go astray, you will hear a voice behind you say, no, this way, walk here, close quote. My friends, listen for that voice. And then follow his lead. I remember the very first time years ago after I had accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord that I was asked to lead a worship service in a small church in a nearby town. Preparing the sermon for the service led to a lot of anxiety for me and a waste paper basket full of crumpled papers of discarded notes and ideas from days and days of fruitless efforts. So there I sat on Friday, 2 days before the service on Sunday, wondering whether anyone would like what I had to say, if I ever came up with anything to say, or would they just politely fall asleep. Then Linda sent me on some errands, mercifully, I realized later, to get my mind off my spiritual struggles. While driving in front of the local mall, God poked me. I realized it later. Clearly a poke to get my attention, telling me to stop thinking about what people would think about me, but to just share what he wanted me to share. I had gone astray. Upon my return home, with my ego now tossed into the trash can with the crumpled papers, with my focus now on him and not me, God helped me to finish my notes in a few short hours. And only one person, a good friend, dozed off. Oh, well. He worked late the night before, but God still got him there. My friends, look, Jesus sees us in every moment of every day of our lives. He is there. He sees us and is with us in and through everything we face. He's in the boat, and he's still in the miracle business. He is the power on board for the way ahead. And what's even better, he knows the way ahead through whatever. He's the one poking you this way, Scott. This way, blank, fill in your name, whatever it is. He has all the power we will ever need to lead us into the sunshine of a brand new day, every day with him, for our good, for the good of others who need us, and all for his glory. That's all we need. He's all we need. That's always enough. Let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for this reminder. Every day you do it, that, and poke us and remind us that you're still in the miracle business. You're still there with us. You've got us. And Lord, when we start to go off the wrong path, you tap us, and we just need to listen for your voice. When we leave, as Isaiah said, when we leave God's path and go astray, you'll hear a voice, and we'll hear a voice behind us saying, no, 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 this way, Scott, walk here. Thank you, Lord, for those reminders. Thanks for loving us that much, for always being there for us. You clearly are a God of wow. That's the best word we come up with now, Lord. You're amazing. You're God. Thank you. Be with those folks going in surgery tomorrow. Be with those folks having treatments today. Be with those folks recovering from whatever they're recovering from. Be with those where we need relationships restored, Lord, for decisions being made, that they would honor you in those decisions. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen. And amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.